try to get that. You should be meditating on the Word of God all the time, just all the time, reading it, thinking it, thinking it, thinking it. Answer a man with a question with your Bible. Amen. I wish you'd pray for my barber. I believe today he asked Jesus in his heart. God was so good. I came in there, and I like to get my hair cut about every 2 weeks, get it shaped up, make sure it looks like Brother Brown or amen. And I can't get that shiny on the top yet, brother. I'm working on it. Or Brother Fur. Yeah. Or Brother John. We have a lot of guys here. But anyway, he was in there. Man, they were crowded, just crowded. And, of course, he's jabbing at me, and I'm jabbing at him. We're just having a good old time. And all of a sudden, I look up, and everybody's gone. And I said, Bill, I said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? I say, 100% sure of that? He says, no, I'm not, Doc. I said, you know, you can. And I quoted scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. And I said, all you have to do. He said, well, I've been pretty good lately. I said, good don't get it. I said, I'm a sinner and so are you, and you know it. I said, God is the one that's good, and he died. That's why he died on the cross, save us from our sins. And I said, Bill, this is what you got to do. You got to ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins. And ask him to come into your heart and be your Savior. And all you have to do is pray a prayer like this. God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. Come into my heart and save me. Wouldn't you know that not a person in that barbershop? I mean, that just doesn't happen over there because it's always full. And then I said to him, I said, I forgot to tell him, I said, Bill, I says, it'd be a sad thing if I get to heaven and look around, you can't be there. He says, I'll be there, Doc. I'll be there. So, I don't know. I'm going to keep working at him and pray for guys like that, get saved. And sometimes they... I was preaching a sermon this morning and Luke chapter 13. I did all the rest of it. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus said, I liken my kingdom like the mustard seed. A man went out and sowed mustard seed in a garden. And the mustard grew up. And that seed was strong. That tree was strong enough to hold a bird, hold some fowls. And I thought of that. What a tremendous thing. You know, we don't think too much. Mustard seed is just a little pebble, a little grain of sand. And it'll grow up high. And you and I, a lot of people don't really understand about Christianity and the kingdom of God. We get saved, and some people, you know, they're excited about it. Some people are, okay, yeah, I'm saved. But they don't understand the grandeur, the magnificence of it. And Jesus said, I just wanted you to know that you asking me in your heart, it's like a little mustard seed. It grows up and the birds can inhabit it. And then he also said it's like a little leaven that a woman puts in her flour or her meal. And it leavens the whole thing and just gets big. And I illustrated that, you know, like I remember my mama making bread. And boy, she'd make a great big old batch of bread. And she'd pound it and knead it and pound it and roll it and throw it and back and forth. She thought it'd be cool to have me do it until I had powder all over the place. She said, no, honey, I'll take care of it. I'd take it around. Wham! It was a mess. I'd take care of it. And then she'd get it all pounded out like that, knead it out, and then she'd cut it in half, put the two great big stainless steel bowls. And she put cloth over both of them. And all of a sudden, she said, oh, my goodness. You know, the thing would be coming out of that old pan. And then she'd beat them again, put them in there, and put the thing over again. It was just little when it started, but once that yeast or that leaven got it, it just grew. So that, Jesus says, that's like the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't take much leaven to leaven that whole thing. You can't even hardly see it. You can't even see it once it's in there. But you can see the effect of it. He said, that's like heaven. I got so thrilled about that. Amen. Sometimes, you know, lead somebody to Jesus Christ and you talk to them about the Lord and they just deem. But you know what? God said, I'll put their name in heaven.
Amen.
So be careful about that. Amen. Just keep telling people about Jesus. Amen. They're listening. Yes, they are. They're listening. Well, I guess you can be seated. I stand up here long. You might as well suffer with me. Amen. Okay. We're going back to verse 17 of Psalm 90. And let the beauty of the Lord, our God, be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. When you begin it, it says, a prayer of Moses. And when you're thinking about this, you go back to the thought of a certain slave that was in a hut on the Nile River. And the Hebrew people were herded there in Goshen, the ghettos, under a harsh condition of slavery. And if you'd creep into one of the houses, one of these huts, perhaps this very day, Amram, the father of the little family, which lived in the hut, he has been whipped and lashed by Egyptian guards. There's a woman in that house. She's a godly woman, mother of three children. Her name, Jochebed. And the name Jochebed means God, my glory. She shines in that slave hut like the Shekinah glory in the tabernacle. And she does wonderful things in a little hut. You know, we can all do that. We don't have to live in the Taj Mahal. In fact, we can live in the Taj Mahal. And we can not have anything. And we can have chronic condition. And we can have things that just don't seem right. Everybody else is living lavishly. But you know what? That's not the point. The point is, what you doing with those little children? You don't have to have a lot of money to raise kids. They don't have to have everything the Joneses have. They don't have to have all the iPads and whatevers. I wish I didn't have one. They don't have to have all that stuff to make them good kids. I grew up on a farm. I had a John Deere tractor. That was my toy. I rode that thing around all the time. I had a bicycle that had great big tires like this. I had one speed. It got me enough trouble. I didn't have a fancy bed to sleep in. In fact, my dad had come with the pliers and bend down a couple of the springs. You laugh. That's the truth. We didn't have an outdoor bathroom until I was in fourth grade. I mean, didn't have an indoor bathroom until fourth grade. Well, I did have an indoor bathroom, but I wasn't supposed to. But anyway, probably why my springs got rusty. But anyway, you're taping this, aren't you? I'm just kind of letting you see my heart today. The Bible said, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. He could pray and every tent of Israel might have a woman that, like Jochebed in the blessed husband and father and their benediction, their children. Thus, indeed, would God establish the work of the people of the hands so that the raising of the generation would not repeat the sins and the folly of the older generation. And may I encourage you to be very careful that you raise your children properly, that they don't have to go into some of the sins that you did. Amen, amen or oh me. Amen. I don't want my children. Someone said, I don't want my children to experience the sin and the debauchery and the evil that I did. This dying generation, only thing they marched to was not to the promised land. They were marching to their grave. Only those that are 20 and younger were going to get to go to the promised land. If a parent would show the love of Christ to their children, they may just get something done for God. Amen. Amen. Let's borrow that prayer. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish all the work of our hands. Let us neither live nor labor in vain. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing that what you do and what you've done in life, at the end of it, it was vain? Solomon said, vanity is vanity, all is vanity, saith the preacher. He said, everything I ever did in my life was in vain. Why? Because he did not keep the precepts of the Word of God. Christian, I guess I appeal to you tonight to be balanced. Be balanced. Be balanced in a Christian walk. Be balanced in taking care of your family. Be balanced in your serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading a book by Ian Murray. Ian Murray wrote a book about a great evangelist, a great pastor. And this pastor was helping with Whitfield, great revival going on in America. And it was Saturday night. And the people had been there since like Wednesday. And they didn't go home. And he appealed to them. He says, folks, and back in those days, back in the 1700s, practically everybody had milk cows and chickens and pigs. He said, you've got to go home and take care of God's creatures. Now go home. And they said, no, we want to be under the preaching of the Word of God. He said, go home and then come back. Sometimes Satan wants us to tilt and just go so crazy about some other stuff. Right. Which is good, but it's not the best. You've got to take care of business. Some of you've got to not only take care of your home, but you've got to take care of your husband or your wife. You've got to take care of your children. You've got to take care of business. God wants you to be balanced. You got a cow, you got to milk it twice a day. How many farmers? You got to milk that cow twice a day. I had a family in my church. We started church 8 o'clock Sunday, Wednesday night and Sunday night. You know why? Milking had to get done. They ran the church time. They'd say, hey, preacher, we got to have it. I said, good night. Why do we meet so late at night? You're half asleep. When I tried to preach to you, he said, well, preacher, we got to have that time to milk those cows. And boy, all those cows have got to be milk right at a certain time. And I'm smart enough to know that there are some things we do stupid just because tradition, and instead of saying, hey, you know what? If that can help a brother and help some families, let's do it. You know? The world does not revolve around your time. And there's some, I remember I was just a young preacher. And I was preaching my last sermon at the Delavan Baptist Church. And we had a terrible ice storm. And the electricity was out all over the county. And I got a hold of the people. I said, hey, we got church. And this is what the man said. Well, we got farmers down here that have refrigerated barns that have potatoes in, and I think that it would be a little better if we got those running than you have a church service. Well, what do you think? Who was right? They were right. Amen? And sometimes we Christians, we think that we're the only guy on the corner. You know what? We're sure a bunch of idiots, aren't we? Admit it. You're an idiot. So am I. Somebody there will, it's all about me. No, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And sometimes the things happen in our life, it's not about us. If you want to meet Thursday morning at 3 o'clock in the morning for church, I'll be here. There are certain places of the country you just got to go with what's best. Amen? Don't. God did say we should meet on the first day of the week. Amen? I know Brother James, you know, or in Nepal, they're meeting on Saturdays because... Yeah. So what do? So what he did was, they met on Saturday, but they also have Sunday church.
Amen.
Amen. By the way, in the Bible, they met house to house daily. So pick your time, amen?
Right.
I do think you ought to meet the first day of the week, because that's where the Bible says bring it to the storehouse. But anyway, and it also exhorts the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he was raised on the first day of the week. So anyway. Psalm 91, glory to God, hallelujah. One more book down. One more psalm down. The hiding place. First of all, I want to talk to you about the times of trials. Anybody have any trials? Hey, how many are not? How many just right? You're just comfortable.
You know it's hot if she raised her hand.
She didn't raise her hand. She says he's fine. Okay. Turn that thing on just for a second. Let's look. And when she starts yelling, we'll turn it off. She's my thermometer, amen. I see Ori up here. I see Kim going and stuff. It's driving me crazy. By the way, can I tell you something? Doctors have proven that if you fan yourself, it makes you hotter. That's truth. AMA came out. Makes yourself hotter. So I just thought I'd help you out there.
Because you're working yourself.
Thank you. He's got his PhD in. Just watch the flakes. It's coming. See, it's coming. Told you. Hey, when you got short hair, buddy, it's cold. Okay? That's good, brother. It just hit me. All right. Well, how was that for a commercial? Amen. All right. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall, I underline that, abide under, I underline that, the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
So there is times of trials. Why in the world would you look for a secret place unless you had to hide, amen? It's trials in life. Many of you experience those trials in life. And for some, they seem like they'll never go away. Talked to a man today. He was going through some trials. He says it just seemed like it'll never go away. Then there's others that have a trial, and maybe to you it's nothing big. So what? But to them, it is very, very, very difficult. Sometimes people take their life because of the trial. They just can't handle it anymore. Let me remind you of someone taking the suicide route, okay? They've been a pretty good person. One stupid move. And we cuss them for the rest of eternity. You better be careful. They're not here to hurt anymore. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of family members brokenhearted over it. They'll never forget it. And some never get over it. And there'll be some who'll always say, I wonder if it was because of me. I know some police officers have taken their lives and their little children think it was because of them. So you better be careful how you treat people. Amen?
Amen.
And It is not the unpardonable sin. Well, the Catholic Church preaches that. It is not the unpardonable sin. Salvation is not by works, as any man should boast. It is the gift of God. What we do know about the unpardonable sin is that the Holy Spirit speaks to someone and they won't listen. That's the unpardonable sin.
Right.
They will not listen to the Holy Spirit tugging at their heartstrings, says, get saved, get saved, get saved. That's an unpardonable sin.
Right.
Read your Bible. Yeah. Check it out. Don't let some priest tell you about it. Just read your own Bible. You've got your own copy, amen? Okay, times of trials, and then we'll also give you times of terror and times of temptation. This is one of the most amazing portions of scriptures, but the theologian call it an orphan psalm. The reason they call it orphan psalm is because they're not sure. Like the previous psalm, Psalm 90, it says a psalm of Moses. Other ones say a psalm of David. Some say a psalm of Hezekiah. But there's no name attached, though most people believe Psalm 91 is attached and Moses just continues on in that. One of the most interesting things about the psalm is that Satan knew it and memorized it, no doubt hated it, but employed in an unusual, distorted, and devious way as he handles the word of truth to try to tempt Jesus Christ when he was in the Mount of Temptation. The devil is a great student of the scriptures. He knows it all. And he uses that to tempt us with, because there's enough truth in it he uses. But he's diabolical.
Right.
And he tries us to get to go and do things that are incorrect and improper. Read your Bible. Eve. He said some truth. You're not supposed to eat of the fruit. You know, and on and on. There's a man that worked for a businessman, and he was holding a great position in the company. And when he went to work, this man said to himself, you know, to get ahead in this big company, I've got to know the boss. I've got to learn to think like my boss. I think that's a great idea. And he decided to study this boss. He decided to find out what he thought. And soon he discovered that the boss was a born-again believer. And he spoke to his employees about Jesus Christ. And according to order that he might know his boss, he went on to read the Bible. He read the Bible through thing, but he couldn't get anything out of it. Unlike the management journals, trade publications, technical writings, legal documents, he had easily mastered and upward bound in that company. He found he couldn't understand the Bible, though. He could talk like his boss when it came to trucks and trailers and engines and torque and shipments and accounts and computer printouts and government regulations, miles per gallon and profits in relation to capital investment. But when he came to talk like the employer, when he came to the Bible, he tried and he just made a mess of it. One day, he went to the boss and says, I don't get it. I've tried to know everything about you. And he said, I pretty much know everything about your company, but he said, I just can't get into your brain. And the boss smiled at him. He said, I'll tell you what. I will send you to the Bill Gothard seminar. And I'll give you a chance to go. In fact, I'll pay your way and I'll pay your time being gone. And maybe you can understand some of the things I... And he went, and guess what? He got saved. He got saved. I mean, man, guy got saved. He said, oh, I get it now. I see why you help the poor. I see why you do this and see why you do that. You see, there's a lot of people that want to tell you tonight, if we just rewrite this Bible, If we'll give you the New American Standard Version, or we'll give you the Revised Standard Version, or we'll give you the Kitty Bible or the Reader Digest Bible, boy, then people can understand the Word of God. No, you can't. The Word of God is understood through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. If you're here tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, listen to me. You're going to miss out because this is a spiritual book. This is just not paper with letters in it. You have to spiritually discern this Bible. So I don't get it. Why does the preacher get so excited about that little thing about the mustard seed and get so excited about the little leaven? I'll tell you why I get excited. Because God helps me understand this Word of God.
Amen.
And if you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus in your heart, and there's not been a time in your life you said, God, I know I'm a sinner, forgive my sin to come in the heart, He will not speak to you through the Bible. Now, I don't care how many revisions of this book they'll try to make, you'll never understand it. Because it's spiritually discerned. And that's what happened to that guy. He just couldn't get it. You ever reading the Bible, and all of a sudden just, light comes out. I get it. Wow. There are some things that the Bible says that we see through a glass darkly. But face to face, we will know. There are some things that you want to acquire in the world. For the longest time, I couldn't figure. The Bible talked about you hate your brother and you hate your sister and you hate your... I can understand hating your brother and sister, but hate your brother and hate your sister and hate your mother and hate your father. You can't, unless you do that, you can't follow me, Jesus said. But dear, spiritually discerned says, you love the Lord Jesus Christ so much. There's such a difference in your love for Jesus Christ. Not that you don't love your mom and daddy and brother and sister. It's just you love God so much that it just, you just sparkle, it illuminates you. They say, wow, you really love God. That's all it means. Amen? So there's a lot of things in the Bible we won't understand, but there's a lot of things that we should be understanding, but we won't unless we have the Holy Spirit living within us, because the Holy Spirit is the one that wrote us the book. God spoke, Holy Spirit enabled the writers, the prophets of God to write the scriptures of the Word of God. This is not man's writing. This is God's writing. God, Holy Spirit, is the author of this Word of God. Jesus Christ spoke it. Holy Spirit delivered it too. I wrote an article when I was in college. I wrote, Button, Button, Who's Got the Button? And it was a dissertation on the fact that people were talking about mechanically dictated the Word of God. Some people will say, I believe that God mechanically dictated the Word of God. That means actually He took the hand of the writer and they penned it out. But on the other hand, the Holy Spirit spoke. And they wrote as the Spirit spoke. So I said, Button, Button, who's got a button? I guess it don't really make any difference, does it? It is God's Word. That was my conclusion. Yes, I got an A.
Amen.
Because my wife proofread it. I had a college professor in college. He was such a stickler on English. Didn't care for the content. I pored over this Word of God. I pored it. I wrote it down. I said, wow, here's a masterpiece. I give it to my wife. She, all the punctuation, he says, great grammar, very good spelling, 100. Plus 5 extra points because I turned it in early. Didn't say a thing about the content. Me! I worked hard on that. You know who it was? Who? Yep, you got it right there, pal. We had quite a discussion afterwards. But he was right. He was a professor. All right. Number one, in times of trial, 1-4. Whomever was the human author of this psalm, he had found in God such a hiding place in the time of trial that he wanted the world to know something about it. Hey, you find something good? Don't you want to tell somebody about it? I told somebody about some muskmelon that I got. And I said it was a big sandy muskmelon. How many of you had a big sandy muskmelon? I have an 8-pounder in my refrigerator right now. Flipping it, and I told them about it. And I got one the other day, and they went to the farmer's market this afternoon and bought me one. It is huge. Fern and Bree, you need to come over again, amen. And I told them about it. And they said, we're going there. We'll get you one. I said, no, you don't have it. No, we will. I said, good. I'll tell you what, if you can get a big sandy melon, they are the best melon you've ever tasted. Oh, yes. You have to wear safety glasses. Once you get the first bite, tongue come out and slap your head silly and eyeballs out trying to get the next bite. Amen. But you can get one. It's really good. When I find something like that, I want to tell something about it. I told somebody about the rodeo on Monday. What a great time. The trouble is, Marcia said, it's cold. We drove the motorcycle over King Hill. I think we could have went skiing. I'll tell you, it was cold. Thank God for Fern and Bree just happened to hear me say it. So they went over and Marcia got a nice warm ride home and I rode my motorcycle by myself. Amen. When you find something, you want to share it.
Amen.
I hope you do.
Amen.
Find something good, you want to share it. I hope you found something good at Harry's Baptist Church. You want to share it with your friends. Invite them to come to our church. First of all, 1 and 2, he talks about a fortress. Back in the time when Montana was just a territory, they built forts. Fort Benton, Fort Shaw. Why'd they do that? Huh? No, I can't say it. The Indians would get after me. No. They built them for what? Safety. They built them for safety. And I don't blame those Indians killing you. But anyway, coming in and taking their land, shooting their buffalo, making guys go to work. Yeah, think of it. Guys, we were out hunting. The wives are home doing all the work. We just went hunting all the time. Folks, I'm just kidding. Come on, I'm just trying to keep you awake out here, amen? Thank you. Yeah. Are you tired? Oh, that's right, Labor Day. You don't even know what day it is. Oh, my goodness, look what time it is. I promised people you about it out at this time. You're done. I do beg of you tonight, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I hope you'll ask Him to come into your heart. Because everything you do without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're really taking a chance. You're taking a great chance that you will never see heaven again. You'll never see it. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he will not see heaven. And then he says, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he will not enter into heaven. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing if you went to hell by even sitting in this auditorium and hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, and just leaving it and not taking it? Father in heaven, I pray you just speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, I pray if there be anyone here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today would be that day they invite you to come into their heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you pray right now this prayer? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. Now, if you did that, according to God's word, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. According to that, you're saved by crying upon the Lord. I'm not going to point you out, but if you're here today and say, preacher, I prayed that tonight. and I ask Jesus to be my Savior. Would you just slip your hand up and down? Just put it up and down quickly. Just put it up and down. Lord, would you speak to our hearts now and help us live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, ladies are going to meet right up here. I got a deacon meeting, and just as soon as you can get up there, that'd be great. And